Welcome to Pool Party Radio. This is the number one podcast for Lennies from Of Mice and Men. I am your host, Parker, joined this time for the first time in several months by co-host Frisbee.
Hey, I've been working on a cleanse, so I'm glad to be back. We're also joined this week by Podcast Town Supreme Resident and the guy on the bike who we all like, Steven. How are you?
I'm well, thank you.
I hope that you run for president now because I want to hold a sign that says the guy on the bike that we all like.
I'm old enough to run for president, so.
Well, you should do
it. Oh, okay.
There's nothing holding you back now.
Nothing really. Maybe some like internet search history, but other than that, we should be good.
Yeah, and several hundred million dollars. I hear that that's also what it takes to become president. And strong politics. You got to have those.
Oh, we have those.
All right, you're in. You're halfway there.
Halfway, yes.
You are a resident of Podcast Town, the number one cool town in the internet. How do you like Podcast Town? Is it working for you?
It's good. It kills the day, especially when I'm stuck on conference calls at work. So I enjoy the ramblings, and I wish that Welf would get involved more. He seems to have faded a little bit, but that's okay. Hopefully he'll come back strong. But yeah, I enjoy it. I also enjoy rage quitting. So.
Yeah, I was very upset the other day that I thought that Corey and Shelby kicked out yet another person.
Yeah, no, I was literally riding my bike at the local skate park and saw the post from Shelby where he said something about me being the next one to flame out. So I was just like, oh, okay, I'll just go ahead and see what happens. And that was funny. I thought it was funny. Within an hour, I had an email, so.
It worked. Your plan worked.
It did.
It would have backfired horribly if nobody would have let you back in, though.
I know. Yeah, I kind of wondered about that, but I think Shelby let me back in, so it was okay.
Well, good for Shelby. He knows how to dig a joke.
I think so. I was told to just say, like, Shelby says before I say everything, and everything will be okay.
Yeah, that's also what Shelby does when he comes on the show. He just talks in third person like that. I ask him a question. I say, you got an MVPP? And he says, oh, well, Shelby says I do. It's very weird. I have to cut all that out and post.
Yeah, it's rough. It's like, yeah, just all third person with that guy.
Man, San Francisco is a weird place.
Mm-hmm. That's what you get when, I don't know, you live by the bay. I'm not sure where I was going with that. But yeah, real weird place, if you ask me.
Yeah, it's where the Neon Maniacs are from. I don't know if you've seen that movie, but it's a movie about how there's like 13 or 14 weird monsters that live in a storage shed, like right underneath the Golden Gate Bridge. And that's basically how everybody in San Francisco is to me. They're just like some sort of weird monster that was like in a storage shed. Somebody let loose.
I haven't seen it. I also... I've made a mental note, though, now that I have to watch Milo and Otis through a different lens because listening to last week's episode, I had no idea that the dogs and cats were killed at the rate that they were filming that movie.
Yeah, they killed like dozens of them, more than dozens, probably. They're probably dozens and dozens. I haven't watched it since learning that, but I'm sure now that I know it, like, it'll be like, oh, that explains why that pug is covered in blood in this scene for no reason.
I'm going back for it. I have to. That's going to be the most ghoulish thing that I've ever done. So.
Yeah, I was thinking about picking it for Ghoul Summer this year, but in the event that there is no accidental blood on screen, I would feel real silly.
Pugs have cool bodies.
That's true. So, Steven, it is customary, even though we've only done it like twice, when we have a new guest on the show, for them to proclaim some of the laws that they would enact if they were suddenly found to be the dictator / president of America or Podcast Town, whichever land mass you prefer, as a way to get to know them. I feel like it's the best way to know a person, what kind of laws they would enact. So do you have any laws that you would that you would proclaim? What do you got? What kind of stuff are you going to do?
Okay. So I was thinking about it, and the first thing that popped into my head, because this is something that's going to actually affect me tomorrow, is I don't know if it's just a Southern thing. And maybe Frisbee can, I think you have some, spent some time in Arkansas. I don't know what their stance is on this, but, I would like to abolish the inability to buy liquor on Sundays.
Yes.
Or the ability to purchase, the inability rather to purchase beer before noon on a Sunday. So.
Oh man, you can purchase beer after noon on a Sunday. I envy you. That is, man. You just blew my mind. I'm still getting used to Arkansas and specifically those restrictions. But what's weird, and might be the same in your case, is if you go to a bar, a brewery, a bar and brewery that can sell its own beer, you can walk straight ass out the door with that beer that they sell, like in cans, because you're buying it at a restaurant.
Yeah.
I don't understand that. Oh, that's wild. But yeah, I'm down for any of that legislation. That sounds great.
Yeah, it really bothers me that I can't get a bottle of wine for the missus or a bottle of bourbon for me on a Sunday, because sometimes you just forget.
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
And that's like the prime time for it, as it's the day that 95% of Americans don't work.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And the day that 95% of Americans don't go to church.
Right.
Also true.
I think that's where this stuff originated.
Yeah, and it's like religious blue laws.
Mm-hmm. And it might be the same in Steven's case, where he's living, but in Arkansas, it's like a checkerboard of not only of wet and dry counties. So, I mean, just forgo the entire what time of day it is. There's just counties that will just not sell alcohol at all. And they've had to do some funny voodoo to get around that. Like if a restaurant wants to sell alcohol, you have to become a member of their club and then it's fine. So you have to like, it's like you're, you know, giving information to a corporate website or something. It's like, just give us your name, your address, and you're a member of the club. Isn't that great? Here's a beer. It's like, that's way too much work and effort. I didn't want to do any of this. I didn't want to get a membership card to anything. I just wanted a booze. That's all.
Yeah, we definitely have dry counties. Interestingly, the Jack Daniel's distillery is in a dry county. So.
Oh, weird. It's like a beacon in an oasis. It's an oasis in a desert.
With a beacon on it.
With a beacon on it and a lighthouse and yeah.
Yeah, so you're in Kentucky then?
Tennessee.
Tennessee, there you go.
Yeah, Jack Daniel's is just whiskey. It's not bourbon. So that's the distinction. You have to be from Kentucky for it to be bourbon, I think. So
I didn't know.
There's a whole they got all kind of rules for this. So.
Yeah, I knew there were a lot of rules. Like I just like putting it in my mouth and getting like really super drunk enough to like be out in public for more than half an hour. Like that's what I use it for. I never learned all the rules. But I have driven by that place a few times.
Have you really?
Yeah.
All right.
I used to
Jack Daniel's or Jim Beam? Because Jim Beam is in Ohio and that one always smelled delicious.
Yeah. Maybe it's that one.
Yeah, they got their distillery up there, just north of Cincinnati. And if you drive by it on the right day, because it was right on 75, so you could see like these huge metal distillers that just look like they look cartoonish because they had like a little brown liquid kind of spilling out the top of it, you know?
Yeah.
And if you drove by it on the right day when they're adding a bunch of sugar, it just smelled like cakes baking. It was really good. Like sugar and molasses or whatever. Yeah. Delicious.
That's how you get the kids hooked on it.
Mm-hmm. It's like, smell that, kids? That's candy. That's going to get you through the day later on in life.
Also, they just like pass out like those Jolly Ranchers to kids. You know?
Oh, those Jim Beam Jolly Ranchers.
Yep, that's a good way to get them hooked. But yeah, I think you're right. I think that's the one I'm thinking of. I've come to the realization that like I don't remember like Midwest/Ohio geography anymore. Like now that I've been gone for like 5 years, I just have no idea. Like I was thinking about streets in Dayton the other day, and like if I was in Dayton, I would have no idea how to get to your house if you are also in Dayton, Frisbee.
I think it's rough.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. Like, there's this thing that Joe Rogan always talks about where, like, the human brain can only register 150 faces at any time. And I think I've gotten that way with streets, even though I don't think I've learned any new streets in California because there's only two of them because I live in the smallest fucking town in the world. But somehow I think these two streets have pushed out all the Ohio streets I used to know.
Beautiful California streets.
That's true. It might be because of their high ratio of beauty to Jim Beam factories.
I end up visiting Dayton at least like once a year, so that might have helped my recall with streets. Like, I remember when Corey from Ilcon shared this video of the Breeders' last video. It's called Biker Gone, and it was filmed a lot in Dayton. So there's actually like this clip of this group of bikers who I guess it was an actual club in Dayton, just going down Wayne Avenue. And it was memorable because it was like this steep drop and I could actually point out some of the buildings that they were going by. It's like, oh yeah, I recognize this. But I don't know if I would have that recall without having gone back there so often. So Steven, are you originally from Tennessee area or did you move there?
I moved here. I was originally born in upstate New York. So.
Ah, right on. So yeah, that's the podcast town tradition. I think that's like one of the requirements for being in podcast town. You either have to have a podcast or be from upstate New York.
Apparently. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's a lot of folks from there.
And where it's amazingly just like East Tennessee where I am. So it's just like geographically looks the same. And probably economically similar, but I mean,
yeah, instead of like, instead of the Adirondacks, it'd be like Ozark foothills or something, right?
Yeah, it's like we're Appalachians, so it's pretty similar. So I was born in like Cortland, New York, which I hear is where Ronnie James Dio is from. So that's
right on.
That's a good pedigree.
Yeah.
Also, I feel like going back to these blue laws, I feel like these things are like ridiculously like antiquated, but like nobody knows what to do with them. And I feel like that's how like all laws are now. Like the older I get, like I just feel like all laws are like these antiquated messes that like nobody knows how to undo. And if I could get in on this and create a law real quick, if I was president, I would say that every 10 years, you just take all the – burn all the law books, start completely new, because I think that laws every few years just become completely like antiquated and silly. Like the fact that you can't buy a beer on Sunday because Jesus told some people not to like a long time ago in the 70s. I think he told them that. Like it's just silly. It's got nothing to do with us these days.
So it's kind of like when you're going through stuff in your hoarder house and you're like, have I used this in the last 10 years? No. Let's throw it out.
Exactly. Yeah.
Spring cleaning.
Yeah.
Government and laws are exactly like hoarding. Like you just hoard all these crazy laws. You keep making them. You hire a bunch of dudes from every state to come into some big building and create new laws every day of the week. And so by the time 10 years is up, you got all these stupid laws that nobody even cares about just because you hired a bunch of guys to make them. They didn't care. They were just hired to make them. They had to fill a quota. And now you got all these extra laws nobody needs. That's exactly what it's like.
I think one of the weirder problems we're encountering now is new laws from older people. And I'm kind of using that as a shorthand for older people, parentheses, who don't understand technology. Because I just saw that because of the most recent encryption scandal, we have some non-tech people trying to make laws like, well, why do we even have encryption? We should have a law against encryption. It's like, oh, dear. So that's the new thing to look out for. There's legislation being drafted about that on the federal level. So, yeah, straight up coming out of California, the tech state. It's like, whose side are you on? It is really strange.
If you're on the side of free and open internet.
Yeah, just open to us though.
Yeah,
your government. Let's crack that baby open like a clam.
That's what they're into.
Cracking stuff open like clams. Mm-hmm. since 1776.
Yep. Do you have any more laws, Stephen?
I do. So I was thinking about I like to eat And something that I have some passion about is barbecue.
Mm.
And so I thought that if you're going to claim to have, like, quote unquote, authentic barbecue from like a particular region or state or municipality, that a representative from there has to come and certify it before you can open and sell it.
I can dig
really,
it.
Really mad when I go somewhere and they're like, oh, this is authentic, you know, Memphis barbecue or Carolina barbecue, and it tastes like garbage.
Mm-hmm.
And it makes me mad. So
I would like, I like that a lot. Being in Arkansas, there's some excellent barbecue here, but they by no means try to step on anybody else's toes. Having also lived in North Carolina for a short time, there's this way of doing North Carolina barbecue, particularly mm-hmm. like pulled pork. And part of that, and this is just like a glossing over of this issue, but I like it, is to add coleslaw on the bun. And other places, other regions don't typically do that. But when you go elsewhere, especially like up north, they're like, this is North Carolina barbecue. And all they do is add coleslaw on the bun. You're like, okay, that's not it, but thank you very much. But in Arkansas, like when they, because people do tend to like that because it adds like a little bit of a crunch, they don't call it North Carolina style or anything like that. They're just like, do you want coleslaw on the bun? And like these kind of hushed tones. And they're like, yes, please. I know it's not the same thing, but yeah, give it to me. So yeah, I dig that a lot. I like your food views.
I've got some strong ones. I in East Tennessee, we're like in this weird kind of crossroads of like not knowing what kind of barbecue to serve here.
Yeah.
We're obviously between Memphis and, you know, and North Carolina. So they came up with like this like mishmash of, I don't know what it is, but it's not very good. It makes me sad. I get really excited if I travel somewhere else that has like some kind of known barbecue, acumen. And, so yeah, it's a bummer to eat bad barbecue.
That's true. I forgot to hook up our producer with a microphone today, but he wanted me to remind you guys that he keeps snacks in his desk.
Okay.
That's something that he says. yeah, I tried to get the other day, I was at this place and I tried to get, authentic California barbecue, but, they just handed me some pulled pork with guacamole on it. And I had to throw it away.
Nice.
That's what we have here. It's garbage. All the food is garbage. It's all got avocados on it.
I just don't believe that. Yeah. We have like, there's like a couple of good places in town. But they're mostly, there's, and I feel bad because some of the places are actually ran by people that I went to school with, and, I got really sick eating there, and maybe that like colored the view a little bit, but yeah, if I go to Texas, especially like Austin or something like that, I'm like a kid in a candy store and I just load up on that. So
a kid in a Jack Daniels store
or that
or Jim Beam store, whichever one
will get you through the thought of having cinnamon in your chili. So,
oh no, I forgot about that particular food view. I was talking more about the hot chicken food views.
We're going to cut this episode short. We got to go.
Actually, on the topic of hot chicken, I'm drinking out of a Gus's world famous fried chicken cup to help. I'm telling you, this is like one of the earliest ones. So like their locations at this time were just in Memphis, Collierville, Brentwood. And then the only extended location at that time was Little Rock, Arkansas. So we got a special treat getting that thing in. But yeah, did you get a chance to try any Skyline in the last time that we were podcast town debating this? Or
I have not. And I regret that I haven't because so I'm not religious, but my wife was like, hey, we should give up something for Lent. And I was like, okay. And so I gave up red meat. And I just haven't like had any red meat in a little bit. So I didn't know if I was going to like break the seal with like Skyline or not, but maybe I will. I don't know
if it's a problem with Skyline chili. That is to say, like, I'm not sure how much red meat is in Skyline chili. It might just be like quinoa or something. I'm not sure.
Sounds good too. I mean, you know, right on. I got a bag of quinoa in it. Maybe I can just make my own. I got a bag of cinnamon, bag of quinoa.
That's all you need.
Yeah, that's it. Those are the two ingredients. But yeah, like the hot chicken thing, that was my first experience with it. And then I started seeing those KFC commercials. Like, to me, it was just like Gus's or Bust, but you have more of like a, your fingers on the pulse of that kind of thing. Do you have, being around like Memphis and a little bit east of it, so what do you go to for your hot chicken?
Well, in Knoxville, which is where I live, we don't really have anywhere. But I was lucky enough to go to Nashville a couple weeks ago and got to eat Hattie B's. And,
Hattie B's.
And that was really good. And I got a pretty hot piece. I got the one down from the absolute hottest they have, and it was pretty hot. I definitely felt it. Like, they, people say that when you eat the hot stuff, it like makes your face go numb. Mm-hmm. And you maybe like start like slurring a little bit. So I felt that like some. It was good. I would do it again.
Nice. That's what I want when I eat food also. I want to feel like I'm having a stroke. And this sounds right up my alley. Like when I, like Gus's doesn't have the levels of hotness, at least the ones in Little Rock does not. So I'm prone to throwing on some hot sauce while I'm eating it because I want to feel numb to life. What can I say? That's a good way to do it.
Yeah.
Do you end up throwing on any hot sauce? Because that's been a topic of discussion in Podcast Town also.
I put hot sauce on lots of things, and I would definitely, if there would have been some hot sauce on the table, I would have put it on there. I didn't get the hottest because my wife told me that she felt like it would make me unattractive to her to watch me eat something that hot. So the whole time I was eating the chicken, I was like, how do I look? Am I sweating? Am I red? And she's like, no, you look fine. So I was like, I could have got the hottest. I could have done it.
I like that she was honest, though, like preemptively. I've only experienced those kind of brutal moments of like romantic honesty a few times in my life. One that comes to mind is being at this party and going on this bizarre outing, coming back with the briefcase full of White Castle, that Crave case.
Yeah.
And I was so fucking excited. And the girl I was with, who, you know, we had a very like free sort of relationship where she was just, you know, do whatever you want, it's great. But I had one of these burgers in my hand ready to eat it like a drunken idiot. And she's like, if you start eating those, I don't think I'm ever going to kiss you for the rest of the night. So I had this like moment of sincere, like, oh, what am I going to, how do I choose? What do I choose? Like, I looked at the burger and I looked at her parent. Like, somebody described this to me afterwards. They're like, you look so sad because you were torn. You looked at your girlfriend's face and you looked down at it, and apparently, like, she gave in. She's like, fine, you can eat some, just, you know, could you brush your teeth or something afterwards? I'm like, oh, thank you. And I started eating like an idiot, but apparently it was a good choice. I enjoyed it.
Man, White Castle is so good.
Yeah. I miss it. If I was dealt with that sort of ultimatum, I would have grabbed up my keys and gone and got another Crave case.
It's so good. We just have Crystal in Knoxville, so.
I mean, it's not bad. Like, that's a weird thing too, because that's like Gulf Coast area type stuff that made its way up Mississippi somehow. Like, I don't see it around here, but I went out to New Orleans and they had Crystal Burgers there. And I kind of like grabbed a bite just because I'm nostalgia. I'm like, they have steamed hams? Mm-mm. I'm gonna have one of those. But yeah, I didn't realize that they had them in Knoxville too.
Yeah, it's like, it's from Chattanooga, so.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So it's in Tennessee.
Yeah.
All right. Tennessee's got a lot of stuff going on, man. I've only passed through there like for Memphis quite a few times, like to do different shit. But then Nashville only like once or twice.
Yeah, Nashville is actually pretty cool. I would live in Nashville.
Right on.
Do you have more laws? Kidding. Are there more laws that you have, Stephen?
Oh, yeah. Cool. My last law is kind of dumb, but it's something that has kind of bothered me here for the last week.
Mm-hmm.
And that is that the law just is that Zack Snyder has to be stopped.
He has to not
be allowed to make anything anymore, like anything, like even a sandwich. Don't let him make a sandwich. Like, have somebody do it for him. I haven't seen Batman, Superman. I don't want to now, and that bothers me. So, yeah, just like, I don't know if it's a law, it's like an executive order maybe, but yeah, just stop. Stop him. Hold him down. And you don't have to kill him, but just I want him to be aware that people don't want what he is peddling. So yeah.
I think he'll probably die soon enough. Have you guys seen pictures of him, like, doing interviews or watched any of his interviews for this movie? Like, he looks like he's aged about 40 years since the last Batman, or the last Superman movie. Like, he looks like he's on his deathbed for some reason.
Oh, that sucks.
All the cocaine.
Yeah.
I think I saw, like, one interview thing that I believe Patrick from Banshee Jams posted. It's like some great behind-the-scenes stuff here. And I'm sure that this clip was cut to emphasize the point, but all he did was talk about, like, some, I think it was like some trans-Pacific airliner.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I believe I posted that.
You posted it.
Yeah, okay. It's just him.
Sorry for that. But yeah, that's super weird to me. Like, why would he? I know why he would go on and on about it, but I mean, it's the most shallow stuff I'd ever seen. Like, yeah, it really contributes to the story of Batman and Superman fighting. It's like, who are you trying to kid, dude? Like, you just made you're doing a commercial about a commercial. What the fuck? Who cares? I'm not sure why it was necessary, this little extra bit. But yeah, he looked tired. I will say that.
Yeah, it's got to be
too tired.
It's got to be like real tiring on you to like come up with like an endlessly dark, depressing, draining movie like that. Like, I don't know, like to just sit around. Like, there's like this new story that came out the other day about like how he cut a scene where Superman can hear the screams of like everybody dying, but like chooses to ignore them. And it's like, when you come up with that for like a big blockbuster Superman movie, like, yeah, like you're probably a very tired man.
That's the best thing ever, though.
Maybe he was a big fan of Dinosaur Jr. And he's like, he hears the screams of everyone and then he hears nothing.
I don't know.
Bring it all back to Ohio.
Yeah.
I'm heartened a little bit though, because I just, as before this the recording started, I was reading an article about some early reviews of the Captain America Civil War, and it looks really good, and everybody seems really happy, and I don't know if it's just like maybe there's like some fatigue after like they saw Batman and Superman, and they're like just looking for anything, like a ray of light in any way, shape, or form, but I think it's actually going to be good, so. I guess we got that going for us. We needed the dark, maybe. Maybe Zack Snyder serves a purpose.
Could be. I think it's just that, like, when you pit Captain America versus Iron Man in a movie, like, people care about that because those are characters that they like. And then when you pit Jesse Eisenberg with a jar full of pee against a troll monster left over from Return of the King, like, and nobody cares. Like, those aren't characters people care about. So I think that's Zack Snyder's problem. Also, I'm fully on board with this not letting Zack Snyder do any more movies thing, except for if he does, like, a Question movie, which is, like, a DC character that's never, ever going to get a movie in a million years. But it seems like with, like, the dark conspiracy sort of laden tone of this new Batman versus Superman movie, it seems like that's the kind of movie he wants to make, is a Question movie, because he's, like, this dark kind of conspiracy kind of a guy. And I don't know. Like, I don't know why, like, he wouldn't just go, let me make the Question movie instead of making this dark conspiracy movie about a happy-go-lucky superhero who, like, saves kittens from trees. I just don't understand him. I don't understand it one bit. It's confusing. And I've seen that movie twice now, and I'm just so confused.
You've seen it twice?
Yeah.
Batman and Superman?
Yeah, I got real bored one day.
That's like okay. 5 hours of your life. It's gone.
That's true.
Yeah, man.
Well,
there's a lot of good movies coming out. Sorry, I'm not going to get into movies I want to see. I want to stay on this topic, actually. Especially like this part of Superman. Really, I like this cut scene of Superman hearing everybody's crying and death, like, because that was a big thing about the previous one that everybody was had such a problem with. Is that written into any incarnation of Superman where he can do that?
Where he can hear everybody?
Yeah, yeah. Where his super hearing is so super that he's like, yeah, you can just hear everybody dying.
Yeah, a little. I think it was Red Sun, which is a story that's like actually pretty good. Where like he was like looking for a bad guy, so like he just went up to space and like he could like hear everybody because like I don't know, sound travels well in space. I guess I don't know.
Yeah, that's what it's known for.
If I remember, it's been a while since I read it, but yeah, it was something like that. I think he could probably hear a lot of people.
I remember a long time ago on, I think back in the days of like reading Ain't It Cool News and like reading script treatments and stuff on there, there was a Superman movie, and I don't know if it was like the Nick Cage one or maybe, I don't know what it was, but I remember them saying like there was a scene for the Superman movie where Superman goes up on top of a mountain and just listens, and he can hear everybody, like it's like Mount Everest or something, and he can just hear everybody, and that's how he like picks out who to save. So it's like maybe biting that a little bit. I don't know.
Could be. There's a scene like that in Batman versus Superman where Superman just goes to the top of Mount Everest, but instead of listening for people to save, he hallucinates that his dad tells him about dead horses. So that's funny. That's a Superman thing. We all remember.
You're actually kind of selling me on this movie now.
It's very bizarre. We all remember that iconic scene in Superman number one from 1939 where he goes on top of a mountain to eat, so a ghost can tell him about dead horses.
Maybe Zack Snyder just needs to stick to like a shot for shot remake of a comic, because Watchmen wasn't bad, but it was basically like somebody referred to as a motion comic in one of the podcast down threads, which I feel is pretty accurate. Mm-hmm. Like it was neat to see it in motion, but I wouldn't say like, oh, it really came alive, except for Jackie Earle Haley as what's his face?
Freddy.
Yeah, as Freddy.
I like his
portrait. Rorschach?
Was he Rorschach?
Yeah.
AKA The Question, I guess.
Yep.
AKA Batman, apparently.
So. Yeah.
So, yeah, that's.
And not to, it's like, a bummer. Way I would, off topic, but what was everybody's problem with that movie, with The Watchmen?
It's not like. Well, for me, it's one scene. It's the sex scene.
Oh yeah.
How'd they score that?
With that Leonard Cohen song, that Hallelujah.
Oh,
song.
Oh yeah, Hallelujah. Yeah. And then like rockets go off from the ship that they're having sex in when he climaxes. Yeah, because that's what it's about, you know.
It's really funny because yeah, Zack Snyder like shot that like so like faithfully, like he basically used the comic as like storyboards and like it's like shot for shot the comic. But then there is the scene in the middle where he was like, yo, what this movie really needs, what the original story really needed, was the scene where Silk Spectre gets her puss crushed.
And a rocket metaphor.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's super lame. And I mean, watching it again recently, like surely that was just a tongue in cheek sort of thing. Like, yeah, we're going to throw in this obligatory sex scene, but no, I mean, it seems very unself-aware of how corny it is. But everything else about it, like, I mean, it doesn't really do anything that remarkable aside from the intro. I thought the intro was pretty cool.
Oh, I love that intro.
Yeah. But everything else, I mean, yeah, he's just like, it's a guy doing straight up, all right, this is a panel in the comic, let's do it here. I don't know why people didn't give Sin City as much flack. Maybe because it was like done in black and white or something. I have no idea. But yeah, this one somehow just didn't hold up. I mean, it's, to me, it's like the least. I haven't seen a lot of Zack Snyder shit. I realize I haven't seen Sucker Punch or anything. But this was one that sticks out to me as not being bad, but still, like, I'm not going to revisit it a lot.
Yeah, I love that Watchmen movie, but I feel like I only love it because I love the comic and it's just cool to see it move and be like a real thing. If I didn't like the comic, I'd probably hate the movie. But now we got to move on to the MVPPs and the MVPPs. This is a segment we do where we recount the week's MVPP, that is the most valuable pool partier, and the MVPP, the most vile party pooper. So I will ask you, Mr. Frisbee, to go first with one of these, because you've been gone for 2 weeks. I feel like you got something, you probably got something nice on deck.
Oh, yeah. I got something nice from a nice person. When I went to Dallas, I went with a friend and also stayed with another friend. This friend I stayed with has moved recently to Dallas. His name is Otieno, and I hadn't seen him for like a year, or it feels like a year. But it was great to catch up with him. And I had left my coat at his place because it was chilly when I left. And not so chilly when I was leaving, and was really anxious to get on the road. So we're all hustling things along, and then I realized, like, as I'm pulling back into Little Rock, like, oh shit, I left my coat there. So I had to text him, be like, hey, or actually called him, because he was like, yeah, just give a call when you're back in town and whatnot, and we knew you guys got back safe. So I did, and I was like, hey, could you check the closet, because I think I left my coat in there, and sure enough, it was. And he managed to fit my whole coat, which is pretty plush and whatnot, into a like 10 by 7 by 5 box. And I was so impressed with that. I had to make him my MVPP for having like the means to fold something so tightly into such small of a box and get it back to me so quickly.
Hey-o.
Through shipping.
That's very nice of him. I enjoy cool folding. Sometimes on YouTube I'll watch like a cool folding video or two. Yeah. So I respect this as well.
Yeah, part of me is like under the understanding that like he didn't want to hold on to my coat for however many months or years before I finally made it out to Dallas again. And also to like prevent another trip from me stopping by. Like, hey, you got my coat. Like, you know, we're friends, but I don't think he's like hankering for another visit anytime soon. So yeah, I thought that was kind of funny as well.
How big is this coat?
Well, it's me sized. It's pretty big. It like comes down to my waist, and
like a trench coat?
Nope.
Oh,
not like a Matrix-y coat.
Okay.
But yeah, I don't know the dimensions of the coat. I always just thought it was funny that it was like when I popped open the box, it slightly like emerged from it, which meant that it was like pressed down into it and taped down.
Like those silly snakes that you put in like a can of peanuts?
Yeah, like those.
That's fun. My MVPP, which is the pool partiers, is Hide the Bodies and our dude Chuck from Sacramento. These are the dudes who are going to be bringing the pool party shirt alive.
Yeah.
They might fold it up into a little box if you ask them to hide the bodies. Chuck drew the shirt, Hide the Bodies, putting it out. It's listed day to day. It'll be out any day now. And it's going to be hot fire. And as soon as you put it on, you will burst into flames. That's how hot fire this shirt is. So
these dudes
are the partiers. They're bringing it to life.
Yeah, also look out for the beer koozies.
Beer koozers.
Your beer koozers.
We're prohibited by law. Apparently, koozie. Paul from Hide the Bodies had to explain this to me. Koozie is a registered trademark with some company, so these are beer koozers.
I like that even better, because that pays tribute to another Podcast Town resident, Seth Koozer, from a Trash Video Podcast.
Medium Trash Video. 2 out of 2 Trash.
Two
video.
Trash. That's are those the soft shirts that are?
Yeah, they're gonna be soft.
Oh, I can't wait. Ooh,
same here. I'm gonna buy a couple and just replace my comforter with those.
I think that's a good idea. They're gonna feel real soft on your muscles.
Mm-hmm.
I legit wear my junk food dinner Ghoul Summer shirt like often, and it's so soft, and I get compliments on it, and it makes me happy.
Nice.
That is a very soft shirt. I find places to wear that as well. And that design is pretty slick too.
It's a good
one. That Ghoul Summer one. But I'm excited for this pool party shirt. The design on that's pretty slick too.
Man, this design, I can't wait to unveil it. It makes me so happy. What is your MVPP, Stephen?
My MVPP is Gus's Fried Chicken is coming to Knoxville.
Hell yeah.
I drove by the spot where they're building it. It's not far from my house. I'm really excited to have unfettered access to like some hot chicken and some hot sauce, I'm assuming. I'm probably going to get really gross and sweaty and like probably overweight, but I'm not going to body shame anything. I'm not here for body shaming. I'm here to eat chicken.
Hell yeah.
And I'm pumped. So Gus's Fried Chicken is my MVPP. Cannot wait.
I kind of want
happy for you.
I kind of want that on a shirt. Like, I'm not here to body shame. I'm just here to eat chicken.
That's a great slogan. I like that.
I'm excited. I'm like stupidly excited about it.
So. Yeah, man. I love grabbing like a bunch of Gus's because they still do this where they'll include like carnival bread, like white bread, you know, in with a bag of pieces of chicken. So I brought this stuff for like big gatherings and whatnot, and it just comes in this bag. So no matter like how far away you are, if it's like 5 minutes, 20 minutes, that bag just becomes so soaked in grease. And that's what like the bread is there for. It's like to soak up the grease.
Yeah.
It doesn't do anything. It's just like, we've double bagged this. And it's like, all right. Nice try anyway. So
is it a party foul to eat the bread?
The chicken itself is a party foul, if you catch my meaning. But no, it's not. I think the idea is that like when I've eaten there, they usually place it on top of the bread. I think it's just like picnic tradition, you know, because like it would just soak up a lot of the grease and you can eat it afterwards. But yeah, I'm excited, man. That's great. I'm glad they've expanded it so much.
A lot of things I don't like about the South, but this softens the blow for sure.
Yeah, foodstuffs are amazing. That and some sweet tea. Like, I'm really digging all that. That's all fine.
I think that's probably like why the northern states have not nuked the southern states, is because that food is so good. Like, you guys down south, you got good food. You got some cool sports teams. We'll let you live. Just stop being racist.
Thanks.
Just stop being racist. Yeah. Yeah. It's a weird, I wish it weren't a trade-off. I just wish it were a thing. Like, the South, known for its excellent food and lack of racism, but not yet.
One day. Frisbee.
Yeah. For my MVPP.
Yeah, who's your MVPP?
Oh, this actually transitions quite well, because on the trek back from Dallas, stopped in Texarkana, and ate at a chicken place there that is not as superior as Gus's. And I'm going to withdraw the name just for sake of the place.
Come on, name names.
Imagine like Church's Chicken, but not as good as Church's Chicken.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, there you go. This place, I mean, it's not doing itself any favors. And part of that was going in there and seeing some of their strong politics on the wall. Like, I just came in for chicken tenders, but they've got like a framed copy, this weird copy of the Second Amendment up there.
I think, and I might know what you're talking about.
You might know. It's got a weird logo, too. It looks like it was hand-drawn by somebody. And then there's all these pictures of Reagan everywhere. And I was like, I'm very uncomfortable with all this. Like, I'm expecting to see like a heritage not hate sign somewhere, and I don't know, man, it was rough. So I see you, chicken place, but not for the good reason. I see you because I'm probably not going to stop there anymore.
Well, was the but the chicken was not good, right? Like, what if like the chicken was like amazing? Like, what if it was like Gus's level? Would you then return?
I would have reservations. I would be like, well, if they've got good mashed potatoes also, then, but yeah, everything was like mediocre. The chicken was okay. They had this thing where they give like a gravy, biscuits and gravy with everything. And that kind of was good, but not good enough. And the sweet tea was also like mediocre.
That's the worst.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. That's unfortunate. I really hoped that this place would be really good because I would love to hear this conundrum of deciding which is, if the chicken, this delicious chicken, was better than the horribleness of racism.
Sort of like Chick-fil-A.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I had that problem for a while.
I think the Chick-fil-A. Yeah. Like the goodness of those Chick-fil-A sandwiches is definitely better than the badness of not liking gay people, I feel. Like those Chick-fil-A rules.
There was a guy from RuPaul's Drag Race, Willem, famously from I think like season 3 or 4. He did a video in drag with two other performers about how good Chick-fil-A's sandwiches were. And it was just them like in drag going through the drive-thru getting Chick-fil-A sandwiches and copying some song. I forget what the song was. I get the feeling it was like a Bengals song or Wilson Phillips song or something. But it was funny. And yeah, even they had reservations. Like, we feel like this place hates us, but we really love those chicken sandwiches.
They're really good.
Yeah, they're tasty.
Speaking of being tasty, my MVPP is this dude. They posted a video of him in Podcast Town. Someone did. I think it might have been Patrick. I think he's like Hillary Clinton's like campaign manager or somebody like this. But he was talking about how when Hillary's president, they're going to disclose all this information about aliens because he feels the American people are ready to know that aliens exist. And I think this dude's pooping the party because I don't think people are ready to know that aliens exist. Like, we're having enough trouble, as we just talked about. People people are not ready to understand that sometimes a dude wants to kiss another dude. So if you tell him there's aliens, I feel like that would be the end of the world. People would just start rioting and burning everything, and there would be no civilization left. They're not ready for this. You got to keep it secret. You can't go out there talking about, we're going to tell everybody about aliens. This is insane.
Yeah, they're just making way for the aliens to come and capitalize on the situation. Like, well, we fucked up their minds. Now they're rioting, so we can just come down and claim everything.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you can get used to having alien neighbors because people are just going to freak out.
We're all going to be six-dimensional beings. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, I think that aliens work the way that the Golden State Warriors work, where it's like people's minds are just blown that Steph Curry can consistently hit a three-pointer from the half-court mark. So, like, they're not even worried about, like, guarding Klay Thompson. Like, their minds are just too blown. They can't even defend this man. So I think that that's how aliens probably work.
I think it's I think it's going to be okay. I'm looking forward to the alien disclosure because I'm ready to see civilization crumble. And let's just go for it. I don't know. It could be fun. Maybe okay. it'll be like we get to see like maybe what The Walking Dead would really be like. Is it really like this really shitty thing where we just sit at a farm for like a really long time and keep making bad decisions over and over again? I don't know.
Yeah.
We got a chance to flip the script here.
That could be good. Like we'll find out for sure. Like is real life the kind of thing where people the audience confuses good writing with just the shock of a main character dying every so often? I think that would be very important to find out.
Well, I mean, that is kind of like real life sometimes, though. Like, if you ever hear back from family you haven't heard from in a while, it's usually because somebody died. Like, I didn't even know he was sick. Did you realize this?
That's true. That did happen to me one time. I found out, like, a year later that my grandma died. My dad didn't even tell me. My dad didn't even bother to text me to tell me my grandma died. Like, what kind of garbage is this? That's how I feel trying to catch up on The Walking Dead. Like, I'm like, season 3 sucks. I'll catch up with season 4. And I'm like, oh, that guy died? What the fuck? Who didn't tell me?
What's especially funny about this last, like, mid-season finale, I guess is what they're calling it now, is that people were anticipating the arrival of this main canon character, the main guy from the book called Negan. Okay.
Whoa, we're not putting up with that kind of language on this show, Frisbee. You can't say that.
Come on, man. Get your ears checked. Anyway, this guy, N-word, he ends up killing somebody in the book that was unexpected to die. Go figure. Okay. And in the show, he finally arrives, and the show's taking some royalties, doing something else, some other twists and turns. But they're wondering, like, oh, is this guy going to kill this other guy that we really like? Is it going to be like the comic books in that regard? But the last episode didn't show who he was killing. So they have to wait till next season. And to make matters like a little bit more obvious and shallow, all the Walking Dead AMC sites and stuff were posting these tweets like, oh, who do you think this guy killed? Who do you think it was? Walking Dead fans? And they like tweet at us with hashtag Walking Dead. So they're basically doing market research to see like who they should keep on or who should, because contracts are being rebid and some shit.
Yeah. Yeah. So,
yeah.
You crowdsource a killing.
Yeah. Who needs storytelling when you can just tell us who you like and we'll keep it up that way?
Yeah. It's the opposite of how the WWE does their writing.
Yeah. It's like, oh, they broke their ankle? Well, shit. Let's have the Wyatts do something and and we'll bring out New Day for a while.
Yeah.
Which I dig. I like that New Day has not broken any ankles or anything. It's just, yeah, WWE is rough with their stuff.
Yeah. They're like, oh, you guys want to see Roman Reigns die? No. He's going to be on for an hour a night.
oh, boy.
Yeah. What is your MVP piece, Stephen?
Mine's like, I got like serious because I was sitting at work yesterday and I saw this story and it bums me out because it's my state. Tennessee just has they do such stupid things. But State Representative Jeremy Durham, he's such a creep. They made him move his office from the state house across the street because he was sexually harassing women. Ooh. And he is considered a risk to unsuspecting women. Ooh. So, but he's still there. So
sounds like they just watched Spotlight or something. Like, oh, we just move him and he'll be fine.
Yeah, they're just like, yeah, just get your things and go sit in that cube over there. It just blows my mind. So that's my most vile party pooper, because man, there's enough bad stuff happening in the South right now.
It kind of reminds me of, what was it, about like Dennis Hastert? Yeah, not exactly the same thing, but similar enough. If we're talking about like
Dennis Haskins. Mr. Belding? Is that who you're talking about? What did he do?
Uh-oh. Bad news bears. Mr. Belding touched all those kids.
Oh, no.
Get into my office right now. Hey, what's going on here? No, but Hastert was, it's coming out that he was like sexually molesting boys when he was a wrestling coach, I think, way before his political career.
How weird.
There was that dude, it broke last night, that like a former Speaker of the House was touching a bunch of kids, too.
I think that was Hastert, wasn't it?
That was Hastert, yeah. I think that's the same guy.
Oh, my bad.
Yeah, he was a speaker.
Oh, I didn't know he was also a coach or whatever, too.
Yeah, long before.
Coach Hass.
Okay, I see what you're saying now. But yeah, it's almost like people who seek power in life want to abuse that power in some way. It's almost like we should like maybe reconsider how power works.
That'd be cool.
Maybe vet these people who wake up and say, hey, I want power over children in my life. Maybe take a closer look at them before just giving them power over children.
Yeah. It's a thought.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
We'll think about that. In 10 years, when the new laws, when we start working on those, we'll start thinking
about
it.
Cycle over. Yeah.
All right. I just want to point out, I got the TV on in the background. There's this VH1 show. I'm not sure what it's about, but a dude's name is Oh Shit. Like, that's his name.
That's like, great.
They keep showing his title card. This is Oh Shit, tattoo artist. So that's his name. His name is Oh Shit.
Did you guys ever watch that Channel 101 show, Oh Shit? It's from the same guy who did what the fuck was it? Broom Shakalaka for Adult Swim.
I don't know any of this stuff.
Oh man,
yes. I'm way old.
He had a show on Channel 101. He did this show called Oh Shit, and it was a show about arts and culture. and he'd try to get on some topic, but immediately after, like, the intro, he'd be like, oh, shit, something's coming right for us. He's really...
I kind of vaguely remember that, actually.
Really good stuff. Channel 101, still around. Who knew? Long after Dan Harmon and Rob Schrab left.
I did not know.
Yeah.
Because I'm old. I watch CBS, so I'm just... This NCIS is so good.
Yeah. I'm just here for crime procedurals. I'm not here to body shame. I'm just here for crime procedurals.
And chicken.
And chicken. Shall we get to some emails?
Or? Yeah, let's hit up an email real quick.
Sure.
Do we have more than one? That would be shocking to my sensibilities.
We do, actually.
Let's save one of those for next week.
Cool. We can do that.
I like to spread them out.
I know you have to spread them out. This one's from Matthew. Says, Heineken, fuck that shit. Pool party radio. Parker, I think your wife should follow you to all your podcast appearances because she's great at calling you on bullshit. It's very cute. Do you think that's true, Parker?
That's probably true. I was trying to talk that crap about Ghostbusters and she wasn't having it.
Or something. Yeah?
Huh?
He says, good for her.
Oh, yeah. No, man, the Ghostbusters, man. The whole movie, they talk about, man, we can't cross the streams. If we cross the streams, the universe will implode. Then at the end, they cross the streams. Nothing happens. What's up with that?
I don't know. It's a perfect mixture of comedy, horror, and science fiction. It's perfect. It's a perfect movie.
I think he's thinking about Night of the Creeps. But yeah. Yeah, wife is good. I like her doing podcasts.
Right on.
I like it when I hear you get to go fill her wine glass up. That's pretty cool.
That's true. I did fill that wine glass up. I like her sneaky way of doing it, where she tries to get me to talk and then tells me to fill the wine glass up.
He goes on to say, my previous email about Frisbee being dead and your wife being the great new addition to PPR makes no sense now. So there you have it.
I'm glad you're not dead, Frisbee.
Well, me too. I'm also glad I'm not dead. But yeah, did you get around to reading that email last time?
No, we did not. It was just sitting there, waiting to be read.
Okay. Well, yeah, he says...
want to be read.
Just for clarification, yeah, he said, I'm totally psyched you fired that Cumulus guy, and she's going to be on the show from on. So there we go. Thanks, Matthew. That was a great email, both of those.
Nah, he's kidding. He loves you. He made the Frisbee's Right to Choose art with the giver on it, eating that ice cream.
Yeah, I hadn't heard from this guy in a while.
Yeah.
Oh, no, wait. No, he actually emailed us back in December. Now I'm looking at that.
He's a nice man. He's emailing.
Mm-hmm.
I like
it. It takes a lot. It takes a lot of guts to hit that send button.
That's true.
I'll say.
You're putting yourself out there.
Yeah. He also sent us two more, but we'll get to those later.
Yeah, we'll read those next week.
Yep.
As for the rest of this week, there is none. That's the end of the show.
Yay!
Thank you, Stephen, for coming on this show, talking about snacks with us. I feel with the amount of snacks we talked about, this is probably going to be the number one podcast in Podcast Down history.
I think it should be. I think it should be. I think it should also be noted that we know who's saying you like pina coladas.
Man, that's true. I thought that argument on kissing contest this week was going to come to blows.
I was hoping. I wanted it to.
Sawyer sounded real mad. I thought he was just going to start throwing hands all over Tone.
Tiny little hands.
Thanks for being on. And anybody listening can find more Pool Party Radio stuff at poolpartyradio.com for all the old episodes. Facebook.com/poolpartyradio. On Twitter, that's at Final Parker, at Cumulus Frisbee. Steven, do you have anything that you want to plug?
No.
Right on.
I think so.
All right.
You can also email us at poolpartyradio@gmail.com. What about you, Parker? You got anything, Ted?
Nah, just email us. Let us know how much you missed Frisbee, because I missed him.
or how glad you were to hear me replaced. and fired.
Don't let us know about that. This guy, he's an odd man out. Everybody, Podcast Town was talking about, we miss Frisbee. Where's Frisbee? Corey said, where's Frisbee? I love him. That's what he said. That's a direct quote.
Well, oh, Shelby yeah, says, where's Frisbee?
That's exactly what Shelby said.
Corey usually says it, but he misspells my last name, like in a very grotesque way. It's like when he misspells Slimer as Slimmer.
That's true. Corey's putting like G's and F's and R's in the wrong places.
Body shaming ghosts. That's right. Yeah, I'm just giving Matthew a hard time. That's all.
That's reasonable.
Thank you.
yeah, I think that's it. Search for Podcast Town if you want to get in on that, and Facebook. Yeah, go to join that Podcast Town, because we're going to let you know in Podcast Town when those shirts hit, and you're going to want that shirt. You're going to want to be all dressed in it. And we'll also let you know on Twitter and stuff too. But until next week, this is Parker for Jason Frizman and Steven and the producer who wasn't here, saying thanks for having fun.
Enjoy yourself, everybody.
Bye.
Perfect.